So, welcome to EE452 Wireless and Mobile Networks. I'm Jennifer McManus, and there's all my details. The easiest way to ever talk to me in person is to send me an email first and arrange to meet me. You're welcome to look in my office. I may or may not be there. Happy to talk to you if I am, but I may not be. You can call me, but again, there's a good chance I won't answer the phone. If you're in this module, then you are either in the fourth year of the ECE program, having filtered in from lots of different prior programs, DME, ICE, EE, or you're in our master's program. Okay. The lectures, typically, technology permitting, are going to be recorded for the benefit of primarily of master's students who aren't on campus. And obviously, anybody's welcome to listen to them, but probably once is enough. But you never know. You might want to just check some little point out about what I said. Everything is available on Loop/Moodle, depending on how long you've been here. And so that, when I say everything, that means the slides, the recordings, any assignments, any tutorial work, etc. If you eventually can't find it on Loop, it doesn't exist. Okay, so, what's the course going to be about? There we go. Well, first of all, again, the program which it is primarily targeted at is the ECE program. It's a fourth year module on the ECE program. And specifically the Internet of Things major. Okay. And so, the question is, how does wireless networking fit in with the Internet of Things? And to answer that, well, first we'll just have a little look at what the Internet of Things means. This is not specifically an Internet of Things course, it's just again, about wireless the wireless technology that might support some of the connectivity. Okay. And so, one definition of Internet of Things is IoT refers to physical and virtual objects that have unique identities and are connected to the Internet to facilitate intelligent applications that make energy, logistics, industrial control, retail, agriculture, and many other domains smarter. What does that mean? Again, what that means is that not only are people communicating over the internet and accessing services over the internet, but now we have devices communicating over the internet, accessing services over the internet. So let's take an easy one like Fitbits or some sort of health monitoring. So you got your little device here, and it sends data to some sort of more centralized location, monitoring your heart rate, how many steps you're taking, logging what sort of exercise you're doing, etc. And at the other end, all that information is aggregated. Nothing too exciting seems to happen with it. You just get a report weekly, or maybe you can compete with friends or something like that. But again, that's sort of an example of the thing. So the type of devices are sensors and monitors. So a sensor would just collect raw data. A monitor might in some way aggregate or assess that data, and possibly actuators. So not only do you have a one direction you know, sending data out for something to be done, but commands can come back saying, well, based on that, turn the car left or whatever. Okay. So how does this change the internet? Well, and again, instead of having people, we now have devices. And again, there's already a statistic about how many mobile phones on average every adult living adult has. It's more than one. If you start thinking about devices, devices that might not even be attached to specific people, then you're talking about tens of devices per individual, and so again, a large explosion in the number of devices connecting via networks. Okay. So people are, you know, getting very excited about all the possible applications. So you can make your home intelligent, so you can have the, you know, control your appliances through your, you know, your cell phone, tell the heating to turn on, you know, half hour before you get home. Your refrigerator might tell you that you're out of milk and just send it to a list on your smartphone. If they can do safety monitoring, so if it's fire, you can link in directly to perhaps the emergency services. You can do that on large scale in cities. So again, you can sensor up your cities. So your roads have sensors for traffic, your buildings have sensors monitoring, you know, the state of the building. You have surveillance for crime and emergency responses. And again, all that data has to be collected, transferred somewhere for analysis, and then again, potentially action taken based on that analysis. Again, you can use it in environmental causes for sort of monitoring of both natural and man-made influences, and possibly again taking some sort of action. Again, if the city's air pollution rises too much, maybe you can sort of start banning cars from driving or something like that. Energy, health, again, at an individual level, you can have all sorts of health monitoring, and that can again be connected into back-end services and, you know, feedback back to the individual. Okay, so that's sort of the type of things. What does this have to do with wireless and mobile communications? And the answer is that it's likely that many of these devices will be connected wirelessly to the internet. Okay. So if you, again, think about the health monitoring, typically you might have some sensors on your body. They connect to your smartphone. Your smartphone then goes on to connect to the cellular network, or, you know, possibly a Wi-Fi, a wireless local area network, and then is sending the information back from there. Okay. It's also possible that the devices will organize cooperatively to provide their own data transport. So again, if you have sensors scattered around, road sensors perhaps, you might forward data from sensor to sensor to sensor before it finally reaches some access point, which sends it back through the network. Okay, and it's, while certainly you're going to need modifications and perhaps additions to existing solutions, it's hardly likely that we're going to reinvent the wheel for this. We've already got loads of wireless networking technology out there support wireless networking. It's not going to get tossed out just because we have a new application. So that brings us back to this module, and what we're going to do is essentially examine those aspects of wireless networks that differ from wired networks, okay? And so some of them are sort of universal to wireless networks. So by the definition of wireless, you're going to have to use a radio link. And so we're going to look at what are the aspects of the radio link, and how does it perform differently? How do you transmit over radio links, again, as opposed to over a wired link of some sort? There are techniques by which you can try and eke out better performance from radio links. Okay, and we'll have a look at those. Radio links allow for mobility. So once you don't have a wire, your device is not tethered to a single location. And therefore, you can say, well, you know, if you're moving, how do you maintain your connectivity? Okay. And the first aspect of that is obviously you need to have coverage. And if you're moving, you know, you can't stay linked to a single point forever. You know, there is a certain range to being able to connect with a given access point. And so the first thing you have to do is have multiple access points that somehow allow you at all points to be connected. And then the question is, how do you move from one to one access point to the next while maintaining that connection? Okay. Obviously, the main example where that happens is cellular. The sort of clearest example where that happens is cellular networks. That's exactly what your cellular network is built to do. Okay. Wireless links. There's different a certain amount of bandwidth, and there's different ways to share it. And so, again, you can split your spectrum into unshared subchannels, or you might have a contention-based system where different users fight it out for the spectrum. And so that's the idea of medium access control. And so we will look at various forms of medium access control. And then a more recent idea is, well, if you're doing that, how do you provide good quality for specific applications? So you're streaming your video, you're fighting it out with somebody who's sending a file might not appeal to you, okay? The main examples of where that arises are in point-to-point link specifications of Wi-Fi and 1X. And so we'll look at some details of those as well as the general principles. Finally, we can think about, so those issues so far are really about point-to-point. It's about the user and that first link into the network over a wireless connection. Other sort of more pathological networks may have multiple wireless connections, so you're going from node to node to node. with your data, and depending, again, how that's set up, these are all wireless links and there's performance issues, but there can also be network topology issues. So if you're in a wireless sensor network, maybe your sensors are moving, and so you're going in and out of range. Yeah, so the ranges aren't staying the same, the connections therefore aren't staying the same. Again, if you have these wireless nodes, power might be an issue. So the nodes might die. Again, that changes the topology. And indeed, the nodes themselves might be moving. So so there's a lot of issues to, again, how do you manage to find a path for a network that, where everything is changing all the time? Again, if you think about wired networks, things are stable. You have your nodes at fixed locations, and they, in general, are reliable. So in general, the actual topology of the network doesn't change, and it certainly doesn't change rapidly. Okay, so those are the main topics that we're going to have a look at today. Not today, throughout the course. Okay. So, very little of what I say is going to be particularly IoT specific. It's going to apply to the pre-IoT world as much as the post-IoT world. And the first observation we can make is even before IoT, even before we start loading in these billions of devices, the wireless landscape is still quite diverse. Okay, we have this vision, which probably is characterized best by our smartphones, that we can communicate from anywhere at any time using a single device, and we can do this even when we're on the move. And does that work? Yeah, it does, more or less. But there's still no one wireless solution which works in all cases. And just in terms of what's existing out there, there's a large variety of technologies that are commonly used and start filling parts of those pieces. So you've got your cellular, so your phone wire, your cell phone technologies, you've got your wireless LAN technologies, you've got wireless broadband, you've got, again, personal area networks, the list continues for quite a while. So, again, we're going to examine sort of specific challenges, and within those challenges, we're going to examine specific solutions that are available. As I've already gone over, wireless systems offer really two different features from wired systems. The first is the obvious, we've gotten rid of the wires, and what that means is that we're using a different physical link, specifically radio waves. Okay, possibly optical signaling, but we're going to concentrate on radio waves. There is no way to protect the medium then. If you send a signal out, anybody in range can recover that signal. So if you want security, it's a matter of adding some sort of encoding. So once you've gotten rid of these wires, what that allows you to do then is to move. Okay. And so the second feature is the idea of connectivity on the move. So again, as I'm there, the network somehow has to track where I am currently, where I'm going, make sure that I'm able to physically make a signal at all points. And again, since that has to happen over multiple access points, find a way of moving from one access point to the other without losing that connectivity. Okay. So those are going to lead to issues that, again, just don't exist in wired networks. There are challenges for the devices as well. So what are some of the main devices? So you have your smartphones, which everybody just think of as little mini computers. They are little mini computers these days. And so they allow you to, great, to have full mobility, but you have issues with battery life, and you would have issues possibly maintaining your quality of service. Again, as the phones get smarter, we want to do more and more with them, and requiring better and better delivery capabilities. Laptops, well, they're not as mobile as phones, obviously. You don't walk around carrying your laptop. You may go from one building to another, but typically you won't be using it as you travel. Okay. The batteries are better than on phones. Again, just it's a size thing. So you might say there are not quite as many issues. Okay, if you go to things, well, possibly again you have all these devices, all of the above issues. You may want to maintain your connectivity while on the go. There are certainly added issues with small devices, especially if in a mobile scenario. And again, if there's all these issues about maybe hooking them up, networking them up. Another difference between radio and wired is that there's only a fixed amount of spectrum. The amount of resources is fixed. If you've got cables, you need more bandwidth, you can always lay a second cable, and a third, and a fourth. There's all sorts of statistics about how much fiber is in the ground, not even being used. So you can always just keep adding resources. It's not cheap necessarily, but it's doable. There's only a fixed bandwidth over which we can send our radio signals, and there are physical limits to how much data we can send over that bandwidth. Okay.
So is that when the AM radio turned off a few years and stuff?
Yeah, no, they're gonna claw that bandwidth back. Okay. Because the bandwidth is fixed, it's controlled by regulatory bodies. And so the various different network technologies can only, or constrained to operate in certain frequency ranges. Okay. Some of these are licensed and some are unlicensed. Okay. Yeah. The problem with licensing is that, you know, costs can be set up wrong. At this point, it's fairly historical, but 3G rollout was significantly delayed in a lot of places, including Ireland, by the licensing auction where the companies paid too much for the licenses. Okay. So there's frequency ranges, there's trade-offs in particularly between range and bandwidth. Okay. So, we have, again, these different portions of the spectrum. The ones where our stuff tends to concentrate is in the gigahertz range. The lower the frequency, the higher the range, but the less the bandwidth, the higher the frequency, the lower the range, but the more bandwidth you can eke out. Okay, so this limitation of spectrum has led to a fairly crowded picture for the radio world with lots of different applications all sitting in the same frequency ranges. And again, if we look at the gigahertz range, we want to be, we've got phones, we've got wireless LANs, we have microwaves. So your microwave oven can interfere with your wireless LAN signal, so your home network signal. Okay. Again, some of these spectra are going to be licensed, so who uses them and how is controlled. Particularly, this is true in the cellular world. Other parts of the portions of the spectrum are unlicensed, wireless LANs being an example of that. Unlicensed doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Typically, the constraints on the unlicensed spectrum is the power level at which you can transmit. So they limit the power, and by limiting the power, limit the range. Okay. Okay. So again, the spectrum is regulated, and organizations for the licensed spectrum, various organizations will acquire licenses to operate in certain ranges. Okay. This is organized on a country-by-country basis. For instance, Ireland uses COMREG. The U.S. has the FCC. There's a bit of an issue in that, obviously, here. The countries have borders, and so you have issues with, a radio signal is not going to stop at a border. There are international bodies that try and regulate those sorts of issues. So in Europe, there's ETSI, and so they're trying to negotiate compatibility within Europe, so you're not completely at odds with each other. And globally, there's the ITU. Okay. And again, it tries to negotiate worldwide standards. The ITU subunit of the ITU is the ITU-T, which is responsible for protocol specifications. So if you took E321, you would have seen the RFCs, and they're the ones that manage those. So they are quite influential in making sure that everything is working together smoothly. Okay. So, wireless links relative to wired links tend not to be as reliable. Okay, and they are much more sensitive to environmental factors. And so we'll again have a look at how that works. Okay. On top of that, again, the shared nature of the radio spectrum makes it difficult to offer quality of service guarantees, so it makes it difficult to give single users bandwidth, etc. Okay, as I said before, security is an issue. It's impossible to stop a signal being intercepted, and so you'll have to, in some way, encrypt your data in order to protect it. And as a flip side, it's vulnerable to jamming. So if somebody transmits at the same frequency you do, your signal is lost, as well as their own. But if their goal is just to lose your, to interfere with your signal, happy days. Okay, so we won't say a lot about that. We'll mention a few issues with possibly how you can protect yourself. Okay, so I've already discussed coverage and mobility. Again, these are challenges that exist for wireless systems. As opposed to wired systems, and so we'll be going into the idea of how you set up a network that can cover a wide area, and specifically cellular networks. Okay. Finally, just to note, wireless networks have evolved pretty much from wired networks. We'll look into that in a few minutes. But the wired data networks appear typically to be called a layered design principle, where you go from transmitting bits to reliably transmitting groups of bits to hopping from hop to hop to hop. And again, a lot of these wireless systems are developed along the same lines. So you have the transmission of bits, you have how you share the medium, and make sure that not just bits but packets get through, and then how they get in the end, what they're actually doing. We'll just take it as a given, and discuss why, but this sort of model it's clear cut, it's worked very well, but it does have inefficiencies. One example of an inefficiency is you do error checking at the hop-to-hop level. You also do error checking end-to-end. This works well in an environment where you have abundant resources. When the resources are tighter, these inefficiencies can cost more. Okay. So, for wireless systems, there have been a lot of proposals for what's called cross-layer designs, where various levels have access to information that's typically reserved for, you know, a single level. I don't think we'll really be getting into this, but it is one of the other issues, again, for wireless network design. Okay. So, that's a survey of some of the issues that might arise specific to wireless networks as opposed to wired networks. Just, again, to fix in your head what types of networks are out there, I'll just give a quick look at the, sort of the major categories that are available. Okay, so again, probably the two that everybody's going to be most familiar with are cellular networks, so your phone network, and wireless local area networks, so Wi-Fi. Okay. Mobile telephony or your cellular network uses cellular technology, and again, the main feature of this is that they provide blanket coverage. So you can have full mobility while maintaining your connectivity to the network. Okay. If you consider a single access point, and you will can think of an access point as being in the, as having an access point in the middle of each of these cells, then obviously there is a range over which you can connect to a single access point. And so you manage greater areas by having multiple access points. And if you place those access points in some nice regular fashion, then you get this sort of honeycomb area of coverage where, again, for each hexagon, you're in the range of the access point at the middle. Okay. As you move, again, what's going to happen is that you're going to go out of the range of one access point and into the range of the next. And so it becomes important that you have some mechanism for allowing the device to move from one access point to the next without breaking the connection. Okay. The original cellular telephone systems were analog, so they were transmitting analog signals. Now, and for 30 or 40 years, they're digital. And digital allows, again, for the transmission of data as well as voice. Okay. The evolution from GSM to 2G, to some 3G to 4G is all about improving that data transmission and connectivity. Okay. So we're going to look at this idea of coverage and connectivity and, you know, see how that works, you know, later in the module. The second quite, you know, familiar wireless standard would be the wireless LAN standard, so 802.11 or Wi-Fi. Okay. And so, again, add your own, any wireless network, really local area network is going to use the standard. It allows great local coverage. Okay. Security errors and bit rates relative to the wired equivalents tend to be lower. Okay. Typically supports either centralized or decentralized control. Okay, with centralized control reporting data to a base station or an access point. Okay. Decentralized control allows multiple agents to interact with each other. Okay. The main issue with the main wireless issue with 802.11 is medium access control. So again, it has, you know, evolving on from wired Ethernet and wired local area networks, it has a contention-based access scheme. Okay. And so we will look at how we share the medium through contention. And yeah, it's interesting to think, well, if you have contention-based schemes, can you support quality of service at all? Or do you have to go to a non-contention-based scheme? Okay, so another point-to-point standard is WiMAX or 802.16. So it's part of that, the whole IEEE 802 family, which is all various ways of making point-to-point connections. Okay, and this is another one. These can be wired and wireless, infrared, loads of different technologies. The schemes specify the physical technology and then again the medium access scheme. Okay. The initial intention for this was to provide wireless communication between fixed points in order to provide a wireless broadband service. Okay. It's certified, in its evolution, certified as actually cellular telephone radio access standards. One interest I have in WiMAX always is it is actually the forerunner in some of the higher performance data transmission techniques. It's the first to use orthogonal frequency division multiplexing and multiple input, multiple access, multiple output techniques. And so it's been very forward-looking in terms of the transmission technologies used. These have all been adopted in, you know, cellular and the wireless LAN world as well. But, you know, again, WiMAX was the first to propose them. They also were, you know, some of the first to propose quality of service methods for these wireless, for this wireless access. So we'll have a look at those probably in two separate locations, both with the performance techniques and then access and quality of service provisioning. Okay. So probably another one you've heard of is Bluetooth, and it falls into the wireless personal area network, and the idea here is to have inexpensive short range communication. Okay. And typically it's used for the removal of wires and some data transmission from device to device. So you'll get things like hands-free telephony or wireless Bluetooth speakers, things like that. excuse me. So we may or may not talk about these technologies later. It depends on, again, whether they fit into the overall picture. Okay. Finally, we have ad hoc networks, and a lot of these are more research topics or special purpose networks than they are standards. We can talk about where standards enter into them, but the idea of a pure ad hoc network is, again, you just have a bunch of wireless nodes. They're moving, they're dying, they're doing lots of annoying things, but they want to communicate with each other and they want to move data. And so, unlike any of the previous solutions, which are in some way structured, either because they're only providing a single hop link or like cellular because you've got a huge amount of infrastructure behind it, these are assumed to have no structure or small amount of structure. Okay. And this makes them beloved of researchers because it's nice mathematical confusing problems, particularly in terms of routing, but very hard to deal with on a practical basis. But we will look at some subsets these networks, particularly ones that add a bit of structure like vehicles when I was just as you're driving down the road, so you have at least some physical topology as the cars are one behind the other, etc. And so we'll look at how they how they operate and sort of how pathological they can get.
The Mexican be considered as a
Sorry?
NFC, near field communication.
Well, it would depend, again, I think that the thing that makes an ad hoc is that you have data going over multiple hops, sort of within one network. So I would think of near field communication as just sort of a single link. Okay, and the main thing we'll look at there is the issue of routing. Okay, so that's some of the high points of types of networks. There are others. You can keep going on, but they're the main ones that we would be sort of considering. So, again, we've got a lot of different types of wireless systems. They were built with specific problems in mind, either voice communication or replace a local area network, or just replace cords, get rid of cables. And so they're all still there. They're all still being used. They are optimized according to specific application requirements. But then people start thinking about, well, can we use it in some other scenario? Okay. They compete with each other for spectrum, in the regulatory environment. and they may or may not share much commonality at all. Okay. So we'll, again, my intention this year is to look more at issues with wireless communication and then, you know, discuss how these issues manifest in various wireless networks. Okay, so that's sort of an introduction to what's going to go on in this module. Aside from the second half of the lecture is going to be sort of a review of network topics in general. So again, things that would apply to wired networks as well as wireless. I know that not all of you will have had any networking modules at all. Is that's true? If you're EE, you've not had any. So you don't need it. what we discuss will be self-contained. Having said that, you know, there's some terminology, some sort of concepts that if you do have, they'll make life easier. So we'll have a quick review of sort of what I think the high-level points of networking are, and then soldier on we'll get back to the wireless material next lecture. Okay, so typically, and as will be the case now, I will break the lecture into two portions. I like to have the first portion longer, just because I get tired standing up here and talking for hours on end. In this case, I'm probably going to be roughly equal. But we'll have a 15-ish minute break, and then we'll come back. Thank you.